We go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, joined by Frank Schwab. Frank, thanks for taking a couple minutes.
Hey, what's going on?
I thought your previews on Yahoo are just fantastic, by the way. I love diving into them and really just sinking into everything. Now, before we get into that, I know a lot of people will say, well, where were the Browns ranked? And you had them at 32, but there was a process behind that, and it wasn't necessarily just you thinking that the Browns were the 32nd best team, or worst team, excuse me.
Yeah, I mean, by the time the season ends, I don't expect them to be number 32, but at some point, you have to prove it. When you're 1-31 the last 2 years, you kind of have to earn your way out of the basement. I don't think there's the worst roster in football. I wonder if maybe it's the worst coach in football. Maybe. I mean, we have to at least put out there that this coaching staff, particularly Hugh, hasn't gotten the best out of this roster in the last couple of years, but yes, I think the future is bright for the Browns. I think they're going to do fine this year. But when you're ranking teams right now in July, you got to say, well, okay, prove it to me, and then I'll take you out at number 30.
Yeah, I love that. That was your potential problem, was Hugh Jackson, because that's our potential problem too. But do we have to give him some credit in that in the offseason, whether this was John Dorsey's doing or Jimmy Haslam saying, all right, step aside for a second or two. But he went out there, got Todd Haley, has rescinded the play call, and there's a realistic scenario where Hugh Jackson could be fired after 6 or 8 games, but then also in that same realm, be the head coach for the Browns for the next 5-6 years.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They're totally, both things are on the table. It's funny because the reason Hugh Jackson was hired was because he's a really good game caller. I mean, that's why. He did great job, great work with the Bengals and Andy Dalton over there. And then the Browns signed him, hoping, you know, hey, you're an offensive genius. You're going to fit. And now he has no offensive play calling duties. It's just weird how that works in the NFL. I do wonder if it's better to just go with the CEO type of head coach, Mike Tomlin, John Harbaugh. But yeah, I think Todd Haley's a good offensive coordinator. I think let's say he runs a little hot, and I don't know if he's the kind of guy who can be around the same players for 6, 7, 8 years because they kind of get sick of him. But he's a good play caller. He's probably going to do really well there. It was a good move. I like to hire. When the Browns got Hugh, I was surprised they actually got somebody who was that coveted. And there's no signs that he's the right guy right now. Now, can that turn around in a hurry? Yeah, absolutely. Especially if some of these young players start really hitting. But I just thought the staff did a poor job last year. Now they got to prove that, you know, they're the right ones to lead the Browns back to at least respectability.
No doubt about it. Frank, I wonder, though, the self-preservation side of Hugh Jackson is what I find fascinating. Last year, he said DeShone Kizer's got to be playing. He's got to be out there. We got to get him reps. So he, you know, got rid of Brock Osweiler, did what he had to do in order to start the 21-year-old rookie. And now this year, when he's facing potentially losing his job, all of a sudden Tyrod Taylor is our guy. Tyrod Taylor is our quarterback, and we'll wait and see with Baker Mayfield. How much do you believe we'll run congruent with that, with Tyrod Taylor being the starting quarterback when week one hits and then at least for, what, 10, 11, 12 games maybe?
I just don't think it's going to be that long. I mean, it's really rare for number one overall picks to sit this long. I mean, people bring up stuff from the Stone Ages, like, oh, hey, Carson Palmer sat a year. Yeah, okay, I was barely out of college when that happened. I mean, now I'm an old man with my daughter in high school. So it's just number one picks don't sit anymore. It's the only one that has, really, since Jamarcus, who held out, so he couldn't even start week one, the only one who was just sad was Jared Goff, and that coaching staff stunk. So they were just screwing it up, and we've seen last year Jared Goff is a pretty good player. So I don't expect Mayfield to sit that long, and I do think self-preservation is a good term for it. I think if the Browns were coming off a 4-12 season, I think Mayfield would start week one. But I legitimately believe that Hugh Jackson feels like, I can't start a rookie and go 0-6 because I ain't going to be around to see 0-7.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you want the veteran in there to get a win. I mean, let's be honest. I have a hard time believing that's not in the back of Hugh Jackson's mind here.
Yeah, I think to myself, if he goes 0-6 with Baker Mayfield, all I'm going to do is look back at the 22 interceptions last year with DeShone Kizer and think, okay, maybe I'm seeing the same exact thing over again. And that's not fair to Baker Mayfield either.
Yep. Right, and you're thinking, this guy just can't develop a quarterback. He can't, you know, I mean, right. He's got to get a win. There's no question about that. I don't know how many games he would have to go. I mean, would it be 0-5, 0-6, 0-8? I just don't know. But he's got to get a win, and maybe when you get that win, then you start you know, then a change comes into your mind. It would blow me away if Baker Mayfield got less than 8 starts this year. Like, it just doesn't happen that way in the NFL anymore. I mean, if you look, I think it's 6 straight number one overall picks between Matthew Stafford and Cam Newton and Jameis and all those guys. They all started every single possible game as a rookie except Goff. And Mayfield's clearly talented enough to play right away, so it would blow me away if he gets less than 8 starts.
Yeah, the only response back to that, I just think about maybe what happened in Kansas City then, because if you had Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes, it took him until the end of the season before he got a start, and it was mainly because you had a playoff-caliber quarterback. I guess in this regard then, do you just not see Tyrod Taylor as a playoff-caliber quarterback?
I think Tyrod's good enough. I honestly didn't like that trade at all. I mean, you're trading. I think it was the first pick of the 3rd round, if I remember for a guy who clearly is going to get, I mean, is he going to get 8 starts? Is that worth it for a young rebuilding team for the first pick of the 3rd round? I don't think it is. But again, this is all, they just got to get a win. They can't go 1-15 again. Like, you needed somebody, a veteran competent in there. I thought it was way overpaying for a bridge quarterback. And if you really want to start somebody, you know, just start Drew Stanton. I don't know. But they did what they did. They're going to get something out of their investment. But I just, you know, and it's, Mahomes is different because, I mean, and it's dumb to parse this way, but he was, I believe, the 12th pick of the draft. Baker Mayfield's number one. He was the best guy in this draft, at least the Cleveland Browns thought so. And you just don't wait on guys like that. He's got to play. I think the only way you learn in the NFL is by playing. And I think he'll be better suited getting on the field sooner rather than later.
Joined by Yahoo Sports is Frank Schwab here on 92.3 The Fan as we're going through his NFL preview. And, of course, you can check all that out online as well. As I really do. I love these pieces. You're just so extensive and thorough with them, even down to the most important non-quarterback. For the Browns, you got to the conclusion of Myles Garrett. I don't think many people would disagree. How did you come to that conclusion, though?
You know, I just think that they need their, you know, Von Miller or whoever, you know, it's not any, it's J.J. Watt or, you know, Khalil Mack. They need an anchor to the defense. They have a lot of good pieces. They have a lot of pieces I really like. You know, I think Jabril Pepper is going to be better now that he's being used in a better way. I think Denzel Ward was a fine pick, even though they got ripped for it. But there's only one guy on that defense who can be a superstar, I believe. And that's Myles Garrett. I thought he played great last year when he was healthy. I thought that if he would have played all 16, that he would have had a lot more hype this offseason, but he got hurt and people kind of forgot about him. But when he did play, he was incredible. And he looked like, hey, this is going to be the type of defender who in 4 years is going to get a $100 million contract. I think he's that type of player. And if you have that, you know, if you have that, you know, Jerry Jones calls it the war daddy, then everything else kind of comes in around him. Defenses are focused on taking away Myles Garrett, and that opens up things for other guys. And it's just, it really stresses an offense when you have a Myles Garrett, you know, out there dominating. That's why I think they need him to be great. Not just good, they need him to be great, a top 10 NFL defender.
Now, Frank, you did obviously the other side of the AFC North. We're yet to see the Steelers preview because they're a better team than 14. I get it, understand it. But I read your Ravens piece, and I thought that was fascinating in need of a shakeup. How do you think that's going to play out between Lamar and then Joe Flacco?
You know, and that's the thing. It's, we can sit here and just say, well, Joe's going to play all year because it's Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson needs time or whatever. But I always use this stat that since Aaron Rodgers, who famously sat behind Brett Favre, since that season, there's been 29 quarterbacks taken in the first round. 27 of them have started at least one game as a rookie. So the odds tell me that there's like a 90-some percent chance that we'll see Lamar Jackson at some point this year. Guys don't sit anymore. It doesn't happen. I mean, Mahomes had 15 weeks, and they got the meaningless game in at the end, but I just don't think Lamar Jackson sits all year. He's the Porsche in the garage. You want to get him out. You want to see what he can do. I think the Ravens are going to become a better team with Lamar Jackson. I really do, and that might be disrespectful to what Joe Flacco has done in his career, but I think we've seen what the Ravens offense can do with him. The ceiling's limited. I think I'm a big Lamar Jackson guy. I think that he was really underrated in the draft. A lot of teams are going to regret passing on him because you can just see how defensive coordinators, if once Lamar Jackson's the starter, Even the coordinators go look at the Ravens tape and say, what do we do against this guy? He's as dynamic of a runner as we've seen. He's good from the pocket, better than he gets credit for. I think at some point we do see Lamar Jackson this year, and it's going to be good for the Ravens franchise, which, you know, I wrote about it in that piece. You know, they were playing for a playoff spot in Week 17 and had empty seats. Like, the fans have tuned them out, and I don't buy that it's because of the protests. I don't buy that it's because of prices. Right? It's because they're boring. Because I watched the Ravens, and I fall asleep. They're the least. Well, I'd rather watch the Browns than the Ravens because the Browns are at least interesting. The Ravens are just awful football to watch, even though they're very successful at it.
Oh, it was a fascinating point too, because I was thinking to myself when they took the selection, the same line of thinking you had. Did Ozzie Newsome take him just to spice up the team? Because offensively, it's just miserable to go through week in week out watching that squad.
I just thought it was a great pick. I mean, whoever made that pick late in the first round, I would have said that. But the Ravens, you look and you say, yeah, that makes sense. It's kind of Ozzie Newsome's legacy pick because this is his last rodeo as the GM doing the draft. And I think it will be. I think we're going to look 6, 7, 8 years down the road and say, yeah, Ozzie gave him a really, really nice parting gift.
And on the other side of things with the Bengals, you know, they had one of the NFL's worst offensive lines last season. It's just you gave them an offseason grade of C for addressing their needs. Where do we stand within Cincinnati? Is this Marvin Lewis's last year, even though it seems like it's never his last year?
I was always on the Marvin Lewis that he's better than everybody gives him credit for. We look at the Bengals' history and what he took over. What he's done is just fine. Yeah, I know he hasn't won in the playoffs, but the history of this team and how cheap they are. Like, what I pointed out, you know, they never sign any big free agents. And just about every season, one of the major free agents will switch teams is a Bengal. It's Marvin Jones or it's Andrew Whitworth or, you know, whatever. And so they're kind of a cheap team that's never had much history. Marvin came in and he's done a good job. He's had them competitive. But the way last season ended was just so weird. They needed to make that change and they didn't. I mean, you know, Adam Schefter went out and reported, hey, they're gonna part ways, and everybody said, yeah, that makes sense. It's time, you know. And then they win their last two games, and he's back. And even, you know, Mike Brown admitted, yeah, the way they finished the last two games changed my mind. Really? So if Tyler Boyd drops that pass on fourth down against the Ravens, then you're gonna find a new coach? Like, what sense does that make? It's a weird team. I can talk myself into the Bengals being better than I probably think they would if Joe Mixon's really, really good, and I think he's a talented guy. If John Ross does something, if Bill Lazor having a full off season, it sounds like he's totally revamped the offense. Yeah, you know, you can talk yourself into the Bengals being better than we think they're going to be, but it's just kind of a team that's in a rut right now, and they would have been a great team to draft Lamar Jackson. Draft him instead of a center in the middle of the first round, but it kind of just feels like the same old Bengals, and even their ceiling seems like maybe 8-8.
You can check out all his team previews over at Yahoo Sports. He is Frank Schwab. I appreciate the time. This was fantastic stuff. Great insight, as always.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Frank Schwab right here on 92.3 The Fan. Great stuff. I really do. I think his previews, they're exhaustive and they're thorough and they're just really well done. You're going to read one of them and you might need to then go ahead and step outside and then give yourself a collective breath and then come back in and just devour the next one. And you'll do that cycle 3-4 times. And then by the time you get to training camp, you'll be all caught up. It's really, I've just gone through every single one of them and I've enjoyed them immensely. We come on back.